Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.
Broadcasting live from the Raiders practice facility at the Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center. This is the premier destination for an inside look into the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, presented by Tequila Embajador.
We're on to Cincinnati, you know, like that's the state of where we're at, you know. You know, I think that we can move the ball well. I think we can move the ball against really good teams. We just got to take care of the football. You know, we take care of the football and stay on the field, convert third downs. And this team makes it really hard to do all those things. So we have our work cut out for us, and we're excited for that challenge. I'm excited, man. I mean, all this crap that I've been through in my life, I'm not even talking about football, but it just leads you for like, me and my brother were talking, my brother Darren, I was talking to him. I was like, bro, I love these moments. I really, you know, it's weird, you know. But I love it. You know, it's adverse. You're still in it. That's what you sign up for, is to compete. And so the state of it is we're ready to compete. You know, we're ready to rock. We can move the ball. We just got to do better on third down. We got to keep the ball in our hands and know that a punt is okay.
That was Raiders quarterback Derek Carr talking about some of the issues, how to fix them, and where they are. And where they're headed against the Cincinnati Bengals, and I completely agree with them. Take care of the football. Play efficient football. Be poised. Be composed. Don't make silly mistakes. And if they do that, which they've done this year plenty of times, they've won five games by not doing those things. When they stay away from those type of things, when they play good, clean football, take care of the ball, don't commit silly penalties. They put themselves in a good position. Why? Because they're a pretty good football team, but they're not good enough. Very few teams are to overcome losing the turnover battle and losing the penalty battle. It's just a bad recipe. This league is too competitive, too much parity from team to team to think that you can get away with that against anybody. Hey guys, I want to talk a little bit about my new friends over at Sextros, and they're putting a contemporary spin on an American classic. You know, back in Prohibition times, the little town of Templeton, Iowa, became one of the liquor capitals of the world. And a pioneering mother, driven by the need to feed her family, crafted a farmhouse brew that ended up becoming an iconic piece of American history. Through word of mouth, Lorene Sextro's distinctive creation spread from St. Paul to St. Louis and Omaha to Nebraska, all the way to Chicago, where Al Capone referred to it as the gold standard. The recipe has survived decades of copycats and imitations. Meanwhile, Mama Sextro's secret concoction was passed on from generation to generation. And now, nearly 100 years later, her grandson Heath has brought it back to life. And what was once only enjoyed by Big Al and his connected associates is now available to you. I've personally tried it, and it's exceptional. It's fresh, it's clean, and it's the superior spirit for any cocktail. Visit Sextros.com, that's Sextros.com, for all their products and recipes and where you can find it locally. So get connected over at Sextros.com, Sextros.com. Listening to Derek Carr, I'm with him. He's not speaking any lies. The Raiders have shown, by the way, you're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. Lincoln has a day off. He'll be back tomorrow. Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m. on a Wednesday. He's speaking the truth. And I think it's important for, you know, Raider Nation to hear that and to understand it. I know as a fan how difficult it is to go through seasons, especially in the NFL, where every game feels like the Super Bowl. And I think you have to approach every game like the Super Bowl, like the next biggest game in the world. You have to, because the other team is as well. But the end result isn't Super Bowl-like. There's always a next one until there isn't any. But right now there's plenty, and you can't get caught up in the highs and the lows, especially of an NFL season. That was the case with 16 games. It's even more so with 17 games. What happened on Sunday night and what happened Sunday against the New York Giants is important, and it means something. It's not meaningless, without question, and it's certainly put the Raiders in a worse spot than they would have been had they won. But nothing has been lost. Nothing tangible has been lost. Every goal and every objective that they have is in front of them. And they also have a team that, when it's playing good football, good clean football, is as good as any team on their schedule. There aren't many teams in this NFL, if any, that I look at and feel like, okay, if the Raiders come correct in this game, and if they play clean football, and if they're converting third downs, and if they're staying away from silly penalties, and they're taking care of the ball, there's no team in the NFL that I don't think that Derek Carr and this offense and that defense can't compete with. Could I have said that last year? No. That defense was really bad last year. So there was no way I could say, just because the Raiders played clean football offensively, that, you know, I felt like they could beat anybody in the league. I didn't feel that way because I understood that even if the Raiders played perfectly offensively, they still have a defense that can, on any given Sunday, give up 40 points, 35 points. So perfect football offensively doesn't always get you the points that you're going to need when you're dealing with a highly imperfect defense. That isn't the case this year. So if the Raiders play clean football offensively and play up to their capabilities offensively and take care of the football and be poised and composed and efficient, I think this version of the Raiders defense is good enough to help them win a lot of football games as a result. So it's different this year compared to years past, but it doesn't take away from the fact that none of it works if you're not playing good, clean football. And for the last 2 weeks, the Raiders haven't. They've lost. The two games before that, they played highly efficient as they have since I've been covering them, and they won in two blowout victories. So somewhere in between is where the Raiders have to be. They have to get closer and back to what they were doing against the Eagles, what they were doing against the Denver Broncos, and if they're able to do that, they're going to be in a lot of football games down the stretch. Back out to the Raider Nation listener line. Adam is on the line. How you doing, Adam?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good, thank you.
I was really wishing Ken was here today because I didn't want to say this until after we played the Chiefs, because everything I say tends to jinx us. But he kept saying that, and he actually said it again yesterday, I think. That was the one I was listening to today, so it was yesterday's, that Tyrann Mathieu can't cover. Tyrann Mathieu is the best, not even probably or top five, the best cover safety in the National Football League. He played corner, nickel, and safety, and still does. And no one throws it on him with volume like Lincoln was trying to say to do. That is actually what you do not want to do. That is the only person on their team you do not want to throw at. So that makes no sense. And then he said that Waller's a better blocker than Moreau. Waller can't block nobody. And Moreau's not too good at it either, but Waller literally cannot block anyone. And you said when we got DeSean Jackson that this man literally chose to come to the Raiders to ring chase.
That's what you said. I didn't say that.
Yeah, you did. Then, word for word.
I've never even used the word ring chase.
Ring chase is what you said, bro.
Brother, I've never used that term in my entire life. Ring chase? The Raiders haven't won squat. Where would he be chasing rings? He wanted to come someplace that gave him an opportunity to get to the playoffs, but the Raiders and ring chasing doesn't even go together. I don't know what you're talking about, or what you're putting on me, but I never said that he came here to ring chase. I said that he came here because this team is in a good position to make a playoff run. Ring chase? Are you kidding me? And I agree with you, Foster. I don't think Darren Waller is a great blocker, and he might be better at it at this point than Foster Moreau in certain situations. But you know, I'm not sitting here saying that either one of them are really good blockers, and that's kind of an issue. That's why losing Derek Carrier. And I could tell you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan, and that's all cool. And that's welcome everybody. But don't put words in my mouth. Don't put words in my mouth saying that I said that he was here to ring chase. The Raiders have no business talking about ring chasing or anybody that covers them or anybody that's a fan of them. They're not in a position to be talking about. Nobody should be referring to the Raiders as a place where you go to ring chase right now. They're trying to get to the playoffs for the first time or, you know, in since 2016 and only the second time since their Super Bowl season in 2002. This is not a place where you go to ring chase. However, where the Raiders are right now and were before, Deshaun got here, they're definitely in the thick of things. They're half a game out of first place and they're a half a game out of the playoffs, and anything can happen, obviously, in the playoffs. So this is a good place to come to try to get to the playoffs. And I don't know who the other suitors were for Deshaun Jackson. From what I understood, it was the Chargers, and they too have a chance to make the playoffs. So I don't know what you're talking about ring chasing. I never have used that term up until this very minute when you said that I did, and I'm telling you, no, I've never said ring chase in my life. So there's that. ring chase. I didn't say that Deshaun Jackson came here to ring chase. He came to a team that's in the playoff hunt and trying to make a contribution and maybe, you know, finishing his career off on a right note, maybe getting to the playoffs. He doesn't have that many seasons left. So I'm not quite sure where Adam was coming from. He's a Kansas City Chiefs fan. I get it. And he should feel, able to gloat. By the way, Tyrann Mathieu's pass coverage grade is 74.5, which is, not bad. Not a bad coverage grade. I agree with Adam. I think that he's a better pass defender than maybe there's a perception out there about him that he's not that good in terms of pass coverage, but he's more than solid in pass coverage. And we're going to take a look at where he is ranks period as a safety in the NFL. We will get that here in a second. I'm scrolling down. He's a 29th ranked safety in the NFL, and his pass coverage grade is, let's see, it's 29th, 30th or so, I think. Let me see. I got to try to figure that out. Yeah, about 29th or so in pass coverage grade. So he's okay. I mean, he's solid in pass coverage. I think that there is a little bit of a misconception about Tyrann in terms of that. It's not the weakness that it is, let's say, for a Jonathan Abram. Jonathan Abram is just not good at all in pass coverage. Tyrann Mathieu is above average when it comes to his pass coverage grade. So I'll give Adam that, but by no means did I ever say Deshaun Jackson was coming to the Raiders to ring chase. If you want to go
right,
ring
Vinny,
chase.
This is going to be a fun little, this is, now I've got some homework to do because I'm going to go back and I'm going to scour the tape and I'm going to see.
Yeah. Do you ever remember saying ring? I don't remember ever saying that. And I wouldn't.
Or did you say maybe, I'm not trying to put words in, maybe he's like, oh, he's coming here to get a ring. He believes this team can win a ring.
I mean, the Raiders at this point, getting to the playoffs would be a huge step in the right direction for the Raiders. By no means do I think the Raiders are some odds-on favorite to get to the Super Bowl. That's just inaccurate. It's not ever said. I think a promising season for them, especially everything that's gone on, is punching their tickets to the playoffs and seeing what happens in the playoffs. But to ring chase, if he wanted a ring chase, he would have just stayed in Los Angeles with the Rams, who were playing well with him. Or maybe he signs. There weren't many places for him to sign with, by the way. I mean, first of all, he cleared waivers, so it told you, you know, that, you know, it wasn't like, you know, people were knocking on, you know, his door to come get him. And it was going to, at that point, be a play, you know, once he cleared waivers, then he was going to be able to kind of pick and choose where he wanted to go. All the money was going to be the same, essentially. So in his eyes, location, the Las Vegas, obviously, is close to his home base in Los Angeles, California, number one. And number two, you know, the Raiders are in the thick of a playoff race. They were in first place in the AFC West at the time of his signing, I believe. I think they were still in first place at that point. So, yeah, they were coming off the coming out of the break. They lost the game to the New York Giants, but they were still in the playoff chase. They signed DeSean Jackson, but ring chase? No. I mean, if you're going to come at me, that's fine. You're going to come at Lincoln, that's fine. I think Lincoln is a little bit off base on where Tyron is as a pass defender. But, yeah, no, I'm not going to sit. And I don't know what his point was. Was he upset because DeSean Jackson didn't sign with the Kansas City Chiefs?
No, he's a Raider fan. He wanted to – because, you know, I tried to talk to the callers before, like, eh, you know, then, you know, we're done. But he said, no, he said, I'm a Kansas – no, excuse me. He said, I'm a Raider fan through and through. He's a Raider fan, but he was just giving Tyron Matthew his props.
Yeah, and
if a player comes in and shuts down your best player, you got to give it up to him. And yeah, that's basically all he was doing.
I'm with him on Tyron. Now I think he got some help. He wasn't just defending him. You don't defend, especially without Henry on the field. You don't defend Darren Waller, or you're taking a big chance if you're defending Darren Waller one-on-one, even with the great Tyron Matthew.
But Tyron Matthew did say after the game, he said, best on best. So he was taking that, the challenge.
And I love that dude. I love that dude. I think he's a baller. And I'm not quite sure, you know, where the misconception is in terms of his past cover, especially looking at the numbers this year. He's absolutely solid in that area. I mean, when you talk about can't defend the pass, and some guys can and some guys can't, even at that position and in the NFL, again, Jonathan Abrams struggles in pass coverage. I give Jonathan Abrams credit. He was where he was supposed to be. He's made strides in that regard. But when it comes to making plays on the ball, he still has work to do, and will he ever get there? I don't know. But he's definitely, you know, that's a work in progress, and that's why the Raiders moved him to the box safety position, where he's not going to be as exposed as much in pass coverage, as opposed to Tyron, who you could put him a lot of different places. He's such a weapon back there, and really his ability to pass defend allows him to do that. You can use him in a number of different ways because you're confident that he can get the job done in a lot of different ways. Sometimes it's blitzing, sometimes it's run support, sometimes it's as a defender. And they definitely used him on Darren Waller. And I got to say this, and I, you know, I hate to speculate and all that, but I do wonder where Darren Waller is physically. We know that he hurt his ankle before that Philadelphia Eagles game. He wasn't able to play. I just know from history, when you sprain your ankle and it's enough to keep you out of a football game, and Darren Waller is a warrior, he's not missing any football games unless he was legitimately hurt, which he was going into that Eagles game. That's why they sat him. But my experience with ankle injuries is that they don't always get better to a point where you're not dealing with it. Even I don't care what, you know, that he did come back and he has been playing. Part of me thinks that he's still dealing with that ankle injury. And I think that his explosiveness has been diminished as a result of that. And I could say that, you know, looking at they threw it to him in the flat, and typically he just either runs through whoever is in front of him or jukes him and gets around him. And he didn't on Sunday against the Kansas City Chiefs. And that's when I started really thinking, you know, I wonder where he is physically. He'll never admit it. He'll never say it. He'll never use it as an excuse. And that's to his credit. But that doesn't mean that he's 100% right now. And that's not taking anything away from Honey Badger. He played a hell of a football game, and he deserves all the flowers for that. So, but yeah, I didn't say that he was ring chasing. I don't remember saying that he's ring chaser. I never even remember saying that term. I hate that term. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila and Bajador, Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM on a Wednesday.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny at 69187 or tweet at him at Vinny Bonsignore. This is In the Huddle with Raiders beat writer Vinny Bonsignore on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely is. And without getting into detail, I mean, you watch the tape the last 2 weeks and we see, okay, this is what we need to do. Boom, that and that. And you see it, and then you try and rep it. You try and replicate it in practice and be better in certain ways. And things like that. So the message to the team was simple, is we got to keep doing what we do. It's won us five games. We definitely planned on having more than that, that's for sure. But it's just, as Coach Del Rio, you say, that's what you've earned. You know, you are what you've earned in this league, and that's what we've earned. But what we've earned is a really close race. there's a lot of teams sitting there with the same similar records, and with a lot of those teams still on our schedule, and some of those teams we've beat, you know. And so we know what's out in front of us, but most importantly, we know who's in front of us this week, and they're a good team.
And that team that is in front of the Raiders is the Cincinnati Bengals, who are also 5-4 as we head to the last eight games of the NFL season. Still a marathon of games left to play. We're just over the halfway point, right? Yeah, we're just over the halfway point. Is there a halfway point when it's 17 games, DeMond? I'm no mathematician.
Halfway. It still counts.
Does it? What would it? It would be like, eight and a half?
He's not looking.
Eight and a half would be, I guess. There you go. So a marathon of a season still left to play. 8 weeks left in this regular season. And a lot of football left to play. And a lot of room, obviously, for improvement. I think getting ring chaser, DeSean Jackson more acclimated and into the fold. You know, I asked Derek earlier, you know, how big of a play was that? Not, you know, obviously people focus on the fumble, and I get that with the DeSean Jackson pass, but just the fact that they made that connection in their first time out, because that's what they need from him. The role that he plays, just being on the field, and Derek talked about that. How teams have to run safeties at him and run long distances to stay up with them, and how that's taking a player away from somebody else just because he still has that speed and he still commands respect with that speed. So when DeSean is on the field, it helps get the Raiders back to where they were when Henry Ruggs was with them. But they're going to also need him to do what Henry Ruggs was also doing. I mean, Henry Ruggs, I don't want to say he had a big play in every game, but pretty much there were a lot of games where he had at least one or two explosive plays himself. And that's on top of what he was also providing in terms of the respect that teams had to pay to defend him and how it kind of opened things up for everybody else. That's where, you know, getting DeSean Jackson, obviously, that's was the intent of getting a DeSean Jackson to try to get the Raiders back to that. And there's enough time now for him to be that factor, to be that kind of a play. And I just felt like the connection that he and Derek made in their first go around was important and something to build on. And as Paul Gutierrez, our good friend from ESPN, tweeted out on Sunday night, that was the first time DeSean Jackson fumbled off of a reception since 2010. I can assure you, DeSean Jackson has had a lot of catches since 2010. He's not a guy that puts it on the ground very often at all. It was just one of those fluke kind of a plays, but it was a huge play given where the score was, what the time of the game was, and the Raiders trying to cut back into that lead and then force the Chiefs to go ahead and try to respond again or give their defense a chance to make a stop and get the ball back with a chance to maybe take a lead. That's the difference in converting that play and turning it over. So, but I digress. Derek Carr talking about how, you look at that film and you realize not far off, just got to clean some things up. Will they? I don't know. I'm not, you know, Nostradamus. I can't predict how the Raiders are going to come out and play on Sunday or any other Sunday from this point on, including a Thursday game against the Dallas Cowboys. What I can say is I saw them when they were playing well and efficient and clean football, and they could beat anybody in that when they're in that world. When they're not operating in that world, when they're shooting themselves in the foot, when they're committing bad penalties and turnovers, then they have a hard time beating anybody. And we've seen that in these last 2 weeks. Back out to the Raider Nation listener line. Mitch is in New Jersey. How you doing, Mitch?
How you doing, Vinny?
Good. How you doing?
Pretty good. I won't put any words in your mouth, so you don't have to worry about that. first of all, do you think our running game will pick up? Raiders have always had good running backs. Murray, McFadden. Now I'm concerned about Jacobs. I hope he can pan out. Hope he finishes up strong. And I think I guess we're going to have to play two tight ends rest of the year. Deshaun's okay, but he's not. He was always the grand slam. He's not an everyday player. Hopefully he can make a few big catches. That's as best you can hope for him.
Real quick, Mitch, you say that, but that discounts what he means in terms of the attention that you still have to pay to him. I, if you want to look at the volume of catches over his career, that's fine. And he's had years where, you know, he was making a lot of catches, going over 1,000 yards, receptions, and that's important. And he still does get his numbers when he's out there playing. And when he's been healthy, and he hasn't always the last few years. But what I'm saying is you can't just look at a player like that in terms of how many catches he comes up with. Football can be sometimes a very complicated game in how, again, the attention that he takes away from other people and allowing other players to have more room to operate. It's a piece to a puzzle. Is he the 100 catch guy that's going to, 1,600. No, he's not that guy. But that doesn't mean that when he's not catching the ball, he's not an important part of your offense. And I'm not saying he's the end all be all. What I am saying is the Raiders lost that piece to that puzzle, and it was working really well when Henry Ruggs was in there for a lot of different reasons that go above and beyond how many catches he had, how many touchdowns he scored, and how many yards he was getting per game. It was also how it affected how other people were defended. But go ahead, Mitch.
No. He stretches the defense. I think of Dale LaMonica when you think about DeSean Jackson. He's not a Hall of Famer, but he's had a pretty good career, 170 pounds. I thought it was kind of funny that the Rams drafted another guy that was just like him. I think his name is Tutu. I know covered that too. One more thing. I hope it's possible. I'm a big fan of this guy. I think he's going to top three. I wonder if the Raiders, if they have enough, I think they'd be picking around 22, 24, and I'm getting ahead of myself. Do they have enough ammunition, weapons, to get somehow land Drake London? He looks like a Raider. I would love to see him as a Raider. Or playing for one of the LA games. He would have won the Heisman, if not the Blitnikoff, too. I think he's going to be a great wide receiver.
Yeah, well, unfortunately now... Yeah, I appreciate the call, Mitch. Unfortunately now, where the Raiders didn't think they would have to be drafting a wide receiver next year necessarily, I mean, you're always going to draft positions to create depth and competition and all that. But let's face it, a month ago, the Raiders had two second-year wide receivers in Henry Ruggs and Bryan Edwards. I think Bryan Edwards, kind of got back on track on Sunday. And a third-year wide receiver in Hunter Renfrow and a still relatively young tight end in Darren Waller. They were set as far as their wide receivers and skill position players. Set. So when you're talking about the loss of Henry Ruggs, it's not just this year. It changes now what their approach is going to be in the offseason, free agency. I know that a lot of people talk about Davante Adams from the Green Bay Packers. If he does hit the open market, I would imagine Derek Carr, who's a good friend of Devontae's, they played at Fresno State together, will be on the phone constantly with Mr. Mayock, as Derek calls him, Mike Mayock, letting him know what his feelings are about going to get Davante Adams. But where... maybe they would have been interested in Devontae next year in the offseason. I think this year they almost have to be. They have to look at impact players at wide receiver, whether it's through the draft or free agency. That's what the loss of Henry Ruggs meant to this team. If we're thinking about the draft, there's a kid from Notre Dame that I really like, Kyle Hamilton, a playmaking safety that I think would fit really well in what the Raiders do here. But, you know, he suffered a season-ending knee injury. I think he's I don't think he's coming back this year. But I think it was well enough earlier in the season that he should be fine by next year. But that's a guy that I would be looking at if I was the Raiders. But you're going to have to really be drafting pretty high to get a shot at Kyle Hamilton from Notre Dame. But again, you know, the loss of Henry Ruggs and also Damon Arnett, because that's a guy that they were the miss, whatever you want to call it, on Damon Arnett. Again, it changes the trajectory of where the Raiders go from here in terms of their draft and off season. So it was a big loss, and they're feeling it right now. They're trying to get DeSean Jackson into things a little bit more to try to. You're not gonna create the next Henry Ruggs out of DeSean Jackson right now. You're just not. He's at the end of his career. He's 34 years old. He doesn't have the speed that he once had, but he's plenty fast for the Raiders' purposes right now to try to replicate, not equal, but replicate a little bit what Henry was doing, so that they can kind of get back to what they were doing. And those last two games against the Eagles and against the Denver Broncos, it was really working, clicking for the Raiders. The offensive line was starting to play better. Everything was working well, and they were playing clean football, and it showed. But they just haven't been able to get out of the break, their bye week, playing that level of football. They just haven't these last two games. And you see when they play, I don't care whether the spectrum was the New York Giants and the Kansas City Chiefs. It doesn't matter. If you're not playing good football, I don't care who you are, you can get beat. Look at the Los Angeles Rams against the San Francisco 49ers. The San Francisco 49ers had lost to the Kyler Murray-less Colt McCoy quarterbacking Arizona Cardinals last week. Think about that for a second. The 49ers lost to a Cardinals team that didn't have their MVP candidate at quarterback and had Colt McCoy in his place, and that the 49ers, who haven't been playing very good football, lose in that game. Then they come back and just curb stomp the Los Angeles Rams. Why? The Los Angeles Rams just aren't playing very good football right now. We know they can. We've seen it. They were, 7-2, before this little tailspin. But it just shows you that no matter who you're lining up against in the NFL on a weekly basis, if you don't come correct, you're going to get waylaid. It just is how good this NFL is. And we're talking about a good team. A really good team, I think, in the Los Angeles Rams.
Hey, Vinny, speaking about lining up against, had some fan interaction on the show on Twitter. DevRoyal7, he tweeted at us, Vinny, get your guy, Demond the Boss. Matthew ain't put no clamps on Waller. The secondary did it as a committee. They won, giving their props, but one-on-one lockdown, absurd. He couldn't dream of doing that. Pipe dream.
All right.
I'm going to have to ask him to look at the film. He only had 7 targets, caught 4 of them. But there was a play in the second quarter. Derek Carr goes for a first down. What does Tyrann Mathieu do? Jumps out, gets ahead of it, bats that down, no problem. Yes, of course, every team, everything is by committee. Yes, but just search Waller Mathieu. I'm just for that listener. Thank you for listening live. Thank you.
Yeah. He didn't do it on his own. Nobody stops Darren Waller on their own. Sorry, but it's not even the great Tyrann Mathieu, who I love. I love Tyrann Mathieu.
Yes, but when you're lined up against someone, even if, they had help over the top, they still made the play.
Yeah, but I don't think he didn't. I don't think that he didn't do it. It wasn't some unfair fight. Tyrann Mathieu just completely taking Darren Waller out. He had plenty of help. And that's, you got to also understand, that's what Derek Carr is seeing. That's why he's not necessarily going in that direction. It's not just because Tyrann Mathieu is on him. It's because he sees where the safety is and where the rest of the defense is. And that's oftentimes who ends up making the pick. You know, the guy that you don't see, the guy that you don't know is there. It's easy to see that Mathieu was on, you know, Darren Waller and part of that coverage plan. But it's sometimes that second guy that makes you pay because you don't see him. So Derek Carr, to his credit, I think, you know, is a guy that tries to do his best to take care of the football. I know he's had a couple of miscues here these last couple of weeks. But if he doesn't like the look, if he doesn't like the coverage, and he sees it beyond just the first guy that's or the obvious guy that's defending one of his targets, he knows where everyone else is that could potentially sneak in and either bat the ball down or make a play for an interception. He's going to look in a different direction. So and that's, to me, why Bryan Edwards had a big say in things on Sunday. You know, that was where the look was. That was where the favorable matchup was. So anyway, you know, it's not even Tyrann Mathieu, as great as he is, I think that he would give his teammates credit too for what happened on Sunday. And also Derek Carr just saying, you know, I'm not going to go in that direction because that's not the good matchup right now. That's not the best matchup. There's other better matchups. So anyway, you're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore, brought to you by Tequila and Bajador. Raider Nation Radio, 9:20 a.m. on a Wednesday.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny at 69187 or tweet at him at Vinny Bonsignore. This is In the Huddle with Raiders beat writer Vinny Bonsignore on Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM.
What's good, Raider Nation? Welcome back to Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM on a Wednesday. Just sent Devon requested a highlight of Darren Waller against Tyrann Mathieu. And take a look at it when you get a chance. But it goes back to, like, people. I think people sometimes live on the highlights and stuff. Like, he roasted him, and even in Thousand Oaks this summer, when Hunter Renfrow was having a nice day, and everyone was just, you know, talking about. It was during a training camp practice, and we're talking about how he was owning Jalen Ramsey, and it was like. You know, first of all, in those situations, you don't know what the coverages are. You don't know what the looks are. You don't know what the guy is working on. And you just sit there and say that it gets exaggerated. And so Darren Waller has a good play against Tyrann Mathieu.
Real quick, Vinny, the play you sent me was from last year's game.
Was it last year's?
Yeah, that was last year's.
November 22nd? Okay, gotcha. All right, I'll find another one. You're right. Didn't look at the date. But there you go. So in either case, that did look a little bit different because I don't think that Darren's moving as well as he normally does. Like, I was looking at him going, oh, maybe he is okay. But then you just told me that was from last year. I didn't look at the fine print. To me, you know, I don't think that he's 100% on the ankle. I don't want to, you know, I hate speculating and all that, but it's part of our job. It's part of my job covering the Raiders for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. And when I watch him, because there was kind of a similar play on Sunday against the Chiefs where he doesn't get around that guy. Like, you watched that play from last year, right? Did you just watch it?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Like, how smooth that was, you know, catch it, run it, just get off of me. And, you know, and picks up what, you know, 12 yards or whatever, 14 yards or whatever. There was kind of a similar play, and I'll try to find it. When I go back and look at the tape, where he doesn't get around that first guy, and that's when I was starting to say, normally he just says that first guy on a Darren Waller pass to the flat like that guy is meaningless to Darren Waller because he's just gonna do exactly what he did to Tyrann in the game last year. He's gonna either go around him with his athletic ability or physical him by dropping a shoulder and getting through him, or what he did to Tyrann, which was flick him off with his I think it was his left hand and said, get off me, and was able to pick up 5-7 more yards after that. Yeah, that's the Darren Waller that I haven't seen these last couple of weeks, especially with the football in his hands. So but I tip my cap to Mathieu. I think that he's an outstanding football player. I think that for whatever reason, there's this misconception about him as a pass defender. He's better than people think, and the grades you know, prove that. Now, Sorensen, the other safety, that's the dude that you need to be attacking. You know, that's why he lost his job. That's why he lost his starting job. He's not that good. And it shows. So, there's that. And if he locked him up, then more credit, more power to him. There was help. There was no doubt. They were, and it goes to my point, Damon, the Raiders are seeing different coverages now, compared to when Ruggs was on the team. I'm not putting it all on Henry Ruggs, but teams don't have, and I think that this applies to the run game as well. Teams don't have to honor that back end speed right now, not the way they did with when number 11 was on the field. So they're able to kind of crowd the line of scrimmage a little bit more, dare the Raiders to run through it, because they don't have to play as far back as they normally did to be in position, because Henry Waller was over there ready to take the top off the defense. So back out to the Raider Nation listener line. Houston is in LA. How you doing, Houston?
Hey, what's up, Vinny? Man, it's been a minute. Good to talk to you, brother.
You too, brother. How you doing?
Good, man. First my USC Trojans ain't playing good football. Then, you know, my Raiders are having a little slump right now. But when you think about it, I just want to say two things real quick. Like, I remember when Al Davis was running a lot of stuff, like And I'm not blaming anything at all, but Al, he rode a tight ship, and it was under him, kind of like the way Gruden did some things. And while Gruden may have made a mistake here or there, whatever the case may be, that very first game, the Raiders balled. The only thing that was missing was Henry Ruggs, but that game after Gruden wasn't around, we balled. And then, like after that, it just seems like we just lost it all when we went out to New York, and we never have been the best East Coast team when it comes down to it. Now, say all that, I'm basically saying that before we go all down in the dumps and all that kind of stuff, we got to readjust ourselves, because the burner's not there no more. The letter's not there. DeSean Jackson, man, he was hard too back in the days when he bought that cow, and he still put to good use. And, yeah, defenses will plan, but that one play, even though it was awkward the way all that stuff happened, Deshaun had him burnt, man. And it was nothing they could do, and it was balling. So I believe in a lot of these cats, man. And I just I'm bouncing around, but I think that Al Davis kind of rubbed off on Johnny, because that first week I saw a different playbook, and I was happy because it wasn't enough running. Now I'm like, man, I'm starting to miss John Gruden, dude, because I think we don't run it enough to try to get that respect back. Because a lot of these defenses, when we start running it, they don't tackle us all quick. I mean, we're not opening big holes, but they're not tackling us quick either. So, man, like, some of those Gruden playbooks don't look bad. Waller was getting the ball a lot. We were putting up 40 points. Now we averaging, I think, like 6. I'm doing this all off my head. Right. Now we averaging like 16, dude. So that's
yeah,
like 20. I'm sorry.
I'm with you, and it's hard not to draw a correlation between. They're averaging, what, 16 points after the break or so? 16-ish, 15? Let's go 15. They had, what, 16 against the New York Giants, I think, 14 against the Kansas City Chiefs. So let's say 15 points they're averaging out of the break. These are the first two games without Henry Ruggs. I'm sorry, but that's the case. I as a reporter, as somebody that's trying to put my finger on what's going on, when you look at the offense, especially after, you know, even with slow starts this year, they've still been able to score a lot of points offensively prior to these last 2 weeks. And certainly those 2 weeks against the Philadelphia Eagles and the Denver Broncos, they were putting points on the board. So, you know, when you look at, all right, what's the one thing that's changed since they came out of the break? Well, number one, they're kind of committing too many penalties, without a doubt. And yes, they've turned the ball over. But what's the one player that hasn't, that isn't here, that was here prior to the break? And that's Henry Ruggs. And it was, I'm just saying, he was an important part of this offense, and they have to try to figure that out. Either that, they have to figure out a way to get DeSean Jackson more involved in the way that Henry was involved, or they're just going to have to figure out a different way to do it. It's one or the other. But to say that there's no correlation between how they're playing offense out of the break compared to how they were playing offense right before the break, and there's one big piece missing, we'd be naive not to sit here and think, man, that was really a big loss in a lot of different ways for this year and moving forward. I don't want to sit here and dwell on it, and I know that the Raiders have to move on from it. That's just the way the world works, but you do the math, and you tell me what you've seen so far from this Raider offense that's lacked the explosiveness that it had just 2 weeks before when number 11 was out there. Can they figure it out? Yeah, I absolutely do think that they could figure it out. And I think it's going to take more than the handful of plays that DeSean Jackson, played. Let's understand that too. He didn't play a lot in that game against the Kansas City Chiefs, and I expect that to continue to change the more he's more comfortable here with the Raiders. I want to say thanks to all of our guests, all of our callers. Thank you, Damon Cotton, for holding things down for it back at home base. Appreciate everybody. I'll be back tomorrow, 4 to 6 p.m., right here at the Raiders practice facility in Henderson. Until then, have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Hey, guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.